Right, and welcome back to RDU's Burnt Breakfast. I'm very excited to have in the studio with me right now, mayoral candidate Phil Major. Good morning.
Morning, Liam. Thank you very much for having me.
How are you going?
Pretty good. Pretty good on a day like it's always like this in Christchurch.
Lovely. Yes. Oh, it was cold this morning, though. Holy moly. Yeah. Anyway, how's the campaign going?
It's going very well. Very busy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I see more of my mayoral candidates than I do my wife.
Oh, your poor wife. Your poor wife.
She's practically a political widow at the moment, but right. It's interesting. I think we've got 22 engagements over the last 2 weeks and the following 1 week, so over 3 weeks is 22 engagements
wow.
to go to.
Holy moly.
So it's busy. It's good.
Yeah,
it's
yeah. Good. I guess you probably meet a lot of people, though, get a lot of perspective and all that, which is good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, and one of the best things about, one of the best things about being in council, you meet so many volunteers.
It is
pleasure to be involved.
Of course. So let's get into it a little bit. What was the story? What kind of initially motivated you to run for council?
Well, a few years ago, I had a big prang in Australia. I got run over by a truck.
Oh, gosh.
And I was in ICU for 2 weeks. And you look at the roof of ICU for 2 weeks and you go, there's more to life than this.
Yeah, right.
So I wandered out of there and realised that you have to give Mac back. My grandfather did, my father did.
So it was time
for me to get off the front line at my old work do that. But since 2019, I've been the councillor for Burwood, and I can see how we can make things run smoother. And seeing how little faith people have in the council, because it's only 42%, I wanted to run for mayor, because I believe I can make a difference and get things done.
Wow, gosh, I didn't actually know that about you. That's very interesting. So kind of in simple terms, what are kind of the core policies you're running on?
The main priority is to regain people's trust in council. As I said, 42% of people out there said they've got faith in what we do. We've got to turn this around. And for me, there are six big things that we need to have focus on. Fix our roads and footpaths, deliver core services better, look after our environment, because we only get one, regain people's confidence in council, keep rates affordable and reduce debt, and make Christchurch an even better place to live. We all know it's a great place to live, but we can make it better.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things where, like, it kind of sucks you in a little bit, Christchurch.
It does.
Very comforting. Yeah.
People from outside sort of don't realise it, but once they get down here, there's a lot of people moving from Auckland and Wellington down to Christchurch at the moment. And I was talking to one the other day, and I said, oh, just can't believe it.
It's a nice place.
No traffic, believe that. Christchurch people wouldn't believe that.
Auckland people love that part. My grandmother, who lives in Auckland, always goes, you've got it so good. You need to be more thankful. In your campaign policies and stuff, you haven't addressed, maybe indirectly you have, but you haven't addressed the arts and the arts sector particularly much. So to start off with, really basically, like, kind of, what do you think you're going to do for the arts sector?
Sector, yes. Yeah, right. I want to be the mayor, a mayor, that really promotes Christchurch and puts it on the map. But I think the real opportunities is the number of new venues we have in Christchurch, like Te Pai, the piano, Tauranga, Court Theatre's coming into town, which is music to my ears, which will help make Christchurch the events capital of New Zealand. I think that having a mayor that is actively promoting Christchurch, it will be supporting the events capital of New Zealand, will positively support the arts.
Is this kind of, aside from sort of that, is this one of those situations that you can kind of throw money at, or is it more nuanced than that?
The council itself at the moment puts a lot of money towards the arts centre.
Yeah, right.
Which is great because, but after the first earthquake, I take my hat off to those guys, because after the first earthquake, they realised they didn't have very good insurance cover. So they raised their insurance cover. The second earthquake came along and they were pretty well set. If that hadn't happened, it would be still looking like a heap of rubble. So it is fantastic. And we do give, I think it's about 5 million, might be 4 million to them every year to keep them going. And,
yeah, right.
And what they've done there is outstanding. But one of the things I'd like to do, and I'm old enough, but I didn't go there much, and you're too young to even know what it was, is the Ducks Deluxe.
Oh, right, yeah.
And we get that, if people remember, that you get back to that, that was the heart of the Art Centre.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
the last thing on that block that needs some money putting towards it, and there's a few perspectives going around at the moment which we can help do that. So, but there's always room for improvement. Inflation has certainly made it more difficult for every dollar to go further. And I bet that especially true for the art sector, which has had the double whammy of COVID restrictions and inflation. We have to support the art sector to recover here in Christchurch. And where we can help promote the sector, we should, and I am, open to looking at any funding options that helps the art sector along the way. So,
right. Good. So a bit of a kind of niche scenario here, but in here, the Box Quarter, one of the venues here called Flux, it has to close quite early. It has to close at 1 a.m. because of kind of noise complaints in the area. Sort of because, you know, housing realistically is quite expensive, especially in the central city, and it's more or less an older demographic who live in the city who don't love the noise pollution as much as, say, you know, a younger generation. How are you going to kind of motivate, encourage, and make the city more accessible for, like, younger people and the student population?
Well, one of the things, we've got to get people into town. Before, I think one of our aims is to have 20,000 people. 20,000 people by 2030. At the moment, I think we were 8,000. We're knocking on 10,000 already, which is good. And talking to you earlier, I think I picked up on you can see a lot more foot traffic in town, which
absolutely.
Is good. But if we, with intensification in the right parts of the city, like in here, before the COVID, Fletchers were having trouble selling their units. Now they can't build them fast enough. It's strange. It's changed the way people think. And the more people we get into town, the more hummy it will be. And that will, and I dare say about noise, who knows, we can have all the consultants up the wazoo, but who knows how much noise the stadium's going to make. Some people say a lot, some people say not much.
Yeah,
so it's a moving feast all the time. So we've just got to encourage people to get in here, and town is noisy. That's the way it is.
Yeah, right. Good. I agree. Town is noisy, and that's how it should be. I just want to very quickly circle back to the Art Centre. Which is, obviously had a lot of coverage, particularly around Ducks Deluxe and all that. But it isn't kind of just the only place for the arts.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And it's, as a business owner, although not, well, previously, I don't know the main details about your business ownership at the moment.
Nothing, zero.
Zero. How will you help kind of other venues in the city?
I think that you're talking about nightlife. Nightlife has made great strides since the earthquake, and I really take my hat off to the HOSPO guys. They've really put their neck on the line, and then COVID waltzes along and just about decimates them. And then in some respects, we don't help them by not making the city as accessible as it could be. You know, sooner or later, there'll be more people in here, which will make it home, and we will. One of the things that's really I'm excited about is ECAN are bringing in $2 bus fares and $1 for any people under 15. If that gets people moving around easily, it'll stop a bit of congestion on the road if people get in the bus because it's cheaper to run than a car. So we just got to make it easy for people to get into town and work with the business to support the safety in town, because it's all very well having it busy, but you got to be safe.
Of course.
And that will ensure helping promote the town to the community and the country as a destination.
I mean, obviously the big one to answer this question is the stadium will help. But particularly kind of live music in Christchurch and events such as, you see Electric Ave and Nostalgia get very popular, but they kind of only once a year sort of things. Do you have plans to kind of up the presence of events in Christchurch?
I know Christchurch NZ are real keen on doing this, and I support them every step of the way. I think one of the real opportunities we have is the number of new venues that we've got, like Te Pai, Piano, Tauranga, and so on, which help make Christchurch an events capital, as I said, of the world. And if you've got a mayor that's actively promoting, it's like the Prime Minister going overseas and promoting New Zealand to the world. I've got to get out and promote Christchurch to the country, so to speak. So that, I'm working real close with anyone that wants any help.
Oh, very good. I'm interested to know, you rebuild, which is the topic that's always on everyone's mind. Mm-hmm. How, from your perspective, how's that gone? What needs to improve on that? What do you think the kind of biggest challenges with that ahead are?
You mean as far as buildings go in town?
You'll see we've
been under a lot of pressure over the last year with the consents team, saying everyone's getting into them, saying, oh, it's taking too long for consents and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You wander around town now and see the building that's coming out of the ground now, you realise how much work went on 8 months, 10 months ago to get those consents done to get it up there and running. There are buildings popping up, you know, three-storey accommodation popping up all over the place. So it's coming right. We can't force people to build on them because the economy will say whether they can or not. But getting people, it's no use building a whole lot of shops if there's no people. But
of course, we're
getting the people in, and then it will turn around and come the other way. Out in New Brighton at the moment, it's very pleasing. I drove around there the other day. There's 500 units getting built out in Brighton. Now, that's 1,000 more people living in Brighton, at least if there's two houses, obviously. But that's 1,000 more cups of coffee or 1,000 more trips to the supermarket. The snowball starts rolling and it's going to be good. We're right on the cusp of it.
It's funny you mention the three-story thing, because very recently the council voted against the government's housing intensification plans, which was, I think, three-storey properties on...
The main thing is, the thing that really upsets people, it's the three stories carte blanche over the whole area. We're sitting in a building now that's a bit higher than that.
Yeah.
But in town, you expect it a bit taller.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when it's, like, say you had a house in Brighton or a house in St Albans or a house in Summerfield, bang, someone can put a three-story one up there beside you. At the moment, we've planned very well after the earthquake. You may remember, well, I do, that after the earthquake, we said, oh, there's not going to be any tall buildings in town. We were so scared. All of a sudden, here we are. And we're getting an Auckland and a Wellington situation dumped on us
by
central government. We were doing all right, thanks, Jack. we were getting intensification sort of as a right through the planning we're doing with the two-story stuff. Put out just over 4,000 building consents last year for 4,000 more units. Not units, houses and units. So we're okay, I think. We've still got lots of land that can be developed, not way out in the Wop-Wops or anywhere like that, but in the suburbs. Because it is also good that at two stories, if an old, cold, awful villa, if I'm not saying they're all, please, I'm not saying they're all awful, but if one of those gets knocked over and two or three two-story ones gets put on there, it's good because we've got more people paying rates. It's good for the whole, good for the whole shebang.
Well, I'll give you a final chance to address our audience. Why do you think they should vote for you? And what do you offer the city?
Well, I'm not a politician, and I'm certainly not a bureaucrat. I just want to get things done, and I like, I'm not playing to your audience, but I do like the arts. My son's a director, assistant director on movies and stuff like that. He's done plays and things like that. He's passionate about it. He really is. And anything I can do to help foster that sort of thing
in
Christchurch. It's got to be good for everyone because, as you said, up here in the studio, you help Broadcasting School young students who can't afford to buy all this gear to help them. Anything we can do to help young people get ahead, because we've probably got young people that you're dealing with that probably know more than some of the people further up the tree. So you've got to encourage them, otherwise they'll go away and go somewhere else.
Well, Phil, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And voting papers go out tomorrow, I believe.
Yep, roger that. Yep.
Right. Well.
So the most important thing is anyone.
Yes.
Get out and vote.
Vote.
Because we're not good at it.
No, we're not. Not for local elections. But they're equally as important. So to all our listeners out there, make sure you check your mailbox tomorrow. And finally, again, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, and thanks for asking me in.